Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Today's Sunday, October the 31st, last day of the month, 2021. 2 Chronicles 20, we're going to read a record in there. You know, I've mentioned this before, in addition to all the things that all of us have experienced in the last year and a half, not just the pandemic, but lots of other stuff going on in our world. But in addition to all of that, there are also challenges in our own personal lives that we need to deal with. And this morning, regardless of what's going on out there, regardless of what we're dealing with in here, in our own personal lives, this morning I would like to look at keeping our eyes on God, our protector, our provider, our healer, the God of all grace and mercy, our ever-delivering God. So let's read this record in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Verse 1, it came to pass after this, after what? Well, you have to read ahead. We're going to start right here, though. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Very frightening news. Yes, it was. And where did he turn? Turn to God. Let's have a fast. Let's pray. We need to pray. And Judah gathered themselves together. We're in verse 4. To ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And then he said, verse 6, isn't it great God lets us see other people's prayers sometimes in the Bible? You know, even Jesus Christ, there's times we can read about how he prayed. And here's another one of those. So this is what he prayed. And said, verse 6, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Starting his prayer by recognizing who God is and God's great power. So many times you see that in prayers, where when they began to pray, it wasn't like, God, I need this. It was a recognition of God's greatness, his power. This reminds me when I read this of, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Mm-hmm. Verse 7, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwell therein, were here, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil comes upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, that's plague, pandemic, or famine, if we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, if we cry out to you, in other words, in your presence, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. God not only hears, but he helps. And, of course, I think you know that the temple that they had there represented the presence of God. So they go to the temple, presence of God, and they would pray. But, you know, for us today, the born-again believers, the Bible says God is where? In you. God is in you. And God is in us by way of his Spirit that he placed in us. And you know, we're reminded in the New Testament, especially the church epistles, a number of times God reminds us that God is in us by way of the Spirit that is in us. And so God is in you. So whenever we pray, are we in the presence of God when we pray? Mm-hmm. Well, of course we are, because His Spirit is in us. The Bible says God is at work within you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And His will for you and for me and for Jehoshaphat that day was to not be afraid. So that was his prayer. Oh, we'll continue reading it. Thou wilt hear and help. Verse 10. And now, like God didn't know, behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you wouldn't let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say now how there's rewarding us to come and to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. You know, all the earth is mine, God says. And God gave those people that land. And so he's praying. He said, look, they're coming to take us out of your possession. This that you gave us. They want to take it away from us. O our God, verse 12, wilt thou not judge them? Now look at this. For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Those three things in this prayer are beautiful. First of all, this is too big for us. What I'm faced with is too big for me. Secondly, I don't know what to do. And thirdly, our eyes are upon you. And you know, this could be true in what we see, you know, going on in our country, maybe. This is too big for us. I don't know what to do, but can we pray? Sure. Can we keep our eyes on God? And when it comes to personal things in our personal lives, you know, there are times when we may face something that it's like, God, this is just too big for me. This is too big for me to handle. And I don't know what to do. But can I pray? Can I keep my eyes upon God? That verse is really wonderful. We have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. If you keep your finger here and go to Psalm 25. Keeping our eyes on God, regardless of what's going on. Psalm 25. In Psalm 25, verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And, you know, we may not have armies camping against us, you know, circling us. But in our personal lives, things the adversary throws against us, regardless of what it is, those are our enemies. They come from the enemy. So I guess they would be our enemies. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed that transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. That's a good answer to, I don't know what to do. God, show me. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What is man? What man is he that feareth or reverences the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear or reverence him, and he will show them his covenant. Now look at verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. For he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I'm desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they're many. They hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul, and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. That is keeping your eyes on God, by keeping our trust in him. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Oh, there's that word wait. Sometimes we don't want to wait. We want an answer immediately. But we keep our eyes on God, we trust in him, and we wait. Redeem, O Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Look at a couple more. Psalm 123. Psalm 123, verse 1. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy on us. You know, the servant-master relationship was, if you were a servant in Bible times, you kept your eyes on the master because sometimes they'd just give a hand gesture. You better be watching. If you miss that, then it's like... So just like a servant would keep his eyes on the master, we keep our eyes on our God, waiting for the deliverance we need. Verse 3, have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. We look to God and keep our eyes on him. One more here in Psalms 141. Oops. Verse 8. But my eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Look at verse 19. Let the wicked fall in their own nets. Yeah, let them fall in their own stuff. Whilst that I will withal escape. So back to 2 Chronicles again. Jehoshaphat's prayer here is a recognition of God's ability to help, despite how enormous the situation he's faced with is. Verse 12 again, O our God, we're in 2 Chronicles 20 again. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. Everybody was praying, mom, dad, the kids, all praying together. Can we pray? Yeah, we can pray when situations come up. So let's go to, let's keep reading. Let's see what happened. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord. So God is going to give revelation to Jehaziel in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you. Here is a word from God. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle's not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. God's telling them, this is where they'll be coming. You shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. That's the second time in this message from God, fear not nor be dismayed. Said that back in verse 15. Be not afraid nor dismayed. Now hear it again. It is in verse 17. Fear not nor be dismayed. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, believe what Jehiel's just told you. Did I say that right? Jehaziel. Believe what Jehaziel just told you. Verse 21, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." What a great battle plan. Yeah, you'll find that in the General's Warfare Manual for successful campaigns. Get a bunch of singers to go out ahead of the army singing, "Praise the Lord." "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." I have no idea what those ambushments were, but God set ambushments. The result was for the children of Israel, or verse 23, "For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another." They all wiped themselves out. "And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering the spoil." It was so much. Wow. And then, you know, you can keep reading. Verse 26 says, "On the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Barakah unto this day. So they gave thanks to God." Wow, what a great victory. Look, what a great victory. Look again at verse 15. "And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. The battle's not yours, but God's." Don't be afraid or dismayed or troubled or anxious because of what you're seeing. If you look at John chapter 14, the last thing God wants us to be is afraid or dismayed, discouraged, anxious, uptight. So we pray and then we keep our eyes on him, trusting in him. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let not your heart be troubled or dismayed or restless or full of anxiety. The opposite of being troubled and afraid is peace. Peace, calmness, that undisturbed believing somebody once said. The opposite of that is anxiety, restless, afraid. So records like we just read in 2 Chronicles, why are they in the Bible anyway? Every event in King Jehoshaphat's life is not in the Bible. You know, from the time he was born, you know, how big would the book have to be? Mm-hmm. Well, why that record? Why did God put that record there? For entertainment, you know, like we watch a movie. Wow, that was a good movie. That's kind of cool. I like that. You know, just to read a nice story. They're in there to encourage us to trust in our great God. You know, like you read about the parting of the Red Sea. You know, what were they going to do? They got the Red Sea in front of them and the Egyptian army coming behind them. We have no power against this might, and we don't know what to do. Good thing Moses was tapped in, because they said, oh, great, you brought us all out here to die. Thanks. And God said, just part it. And they parted the Red Sea, went across on dry land. All the army of Israel were hiding and afraid of Goliath, this big behemoth. And everybody was afraid. Who would have ever thought a little shepherd boy with a rock would take him out? So many records like that in the Bible that we read about. And they encourage us to pray and keep our eyes on God, trusting in Him, looking for an answer. And, you know, when you think about it, when we face things, we have a choice to either pray or worry, right? Mm-hmm. We can pray or we can worry. Worrying, anxiety and fear never changes the situation. You can worry all you want. That doesn't change anything. So no wonder there are so many verses in the Bible about not being afraid. I mean, it's all through the Bible. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And by the way, medically, worry, fear, and anxiety lowers your immune system. Mm-hmm. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. Look at Hebrews 13. It's a familiar verse in Hebrews 13, especially the latter part of it. Hebrews 13. You know, we're not gathered together yet. We're not, you know, up in the clouds with Jesus and all our brothers and sisters. We're not there. We're still in this crazy world where there's an enemy, where there's an adversary. You know, things come up. That's why we need God, because sometimes it's like, this is too big for me, and I don't know what to do. So what can I do? I can either worry or pray, or well, I think I'll pray and trust God and keep my eyes on God. And, you know, sometimes we may not do the best at it, right? Sometimes we may end up worrying and get full of fear or whatever. But, you know, just pick ourselves up and get moving again. 13:5, let your conversation or your behavior be without covetousness. Be content or self-sufficient with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's a very familiar verse, isn't it? And a lot of times people quote the last part of that verse, and that is great. It really is. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But look what the next verse says. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't that great? I like adding that sixth verse with that. God will never leave you nor forsake you, so that I may boldly say, the Lord's my helper. Well, sure. He never leaves me. So we pray and we keep our eyes on Him, trusting in our God, looking for and expecting an answer. And because God designed us with free will, God will never make us believe, right? And God will never make us think the right thoughts. I mean, there's lots in the Bible where God tells us what to think. You know, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts us against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, set your thoughts on things above, not on things of the earth, put on the mind of Christ, be anxious for nothing. It's, you know, there's a lot in God's word about our thinking, because God's not in charge of our thinking. He's not gonna wake up one day and all of a sudden be positive. Wow, I woke up, I'm totally positive today. You know, so there are plenty of verses about thinking. And you know something else? It's really easy to say all the right things when everything's going well, right? When everything's going well, it's so easy to go, yay, God, yes, God is good. Yes, trust the Lord. Oh, golly, life is great. I'm loving life. It's really easy. Yes, you need to believe God too. Sure, pray, get your prayers out. It's really easy when everything's going good, but when a crisis lands at your front door, now what are you going to do? Now what are you going to do? Then it's our choice to pray and keep our eyes on Him, putting our trust in Him, reminding ourselves of what He said. God, you said this in your word. These are your words. And we go to God in prayer with His words. Look at Philippians chapter 4. You probably figured we'd go to this one. Philippians 4. It's still in the Bible. still here. God is so good to tell us this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful. The word careful means anxious. Much better translated anxious. It literally means mentally distracted, pulled away. Be anxious for nothing. Well, what should I do then? Well, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, worry, fear, anxiety, again, that's the opposite of peace. And Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Be anxious for nothing. Instead of being anxious, we pray. That's what God said to do. Instead of being all stressed out, pray. Stop and pray. And you know, again, it's a choice. I can pray or I can worry. I can pray or I can be all frazzled. I can pray or I can be all negative. I can pray or I can list all the reasons why I don't know why crap's happening to me. And what does that get you? More depressed. But it's a choice to worry or pray. One leads to peace, the other leads to panic. And notice in that verse 6 it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. What a great key in prayer, right? Thankfulness. And many times, and just because we're human, but a lot of times when things aren't going the best, it's very easy to rattle off every negative that goes with it. You know, yeah, this is going on, and that's going on, and this is going on. And God said, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Well, what have I got to be thankful for? I'm in this mess. Yes, but do you have anything to be thankful for? It seems like you're alive. Could start with basics. I'm breathing. Thank you, Lord. I'm alive. You know, thank you. I have food to eat. You know, thank you that, you know, someone's not dragging me off to jail because of what I believe. You know, there's so many things that we can be thankful for. It's a shift from focusing on the junk to focusing on what God's already done for us. And I know a great benefit of being thankful is that puts you in expectation mode. Because when you start thinking of all the things that God has done for you, it really inspires you to trust Him to bring what you need. It's just a shift. So we have lots to be thankful for. And when we do that consistently, it gets rid of the fear. And really, it will help to increase our trust in God and brings peace. Let's read it again. Be anxious for nothing, verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And that might just be, this is too big for me, Father, and I don't know what to do, but I'm looking to you. And we pray. And by doing that, by praying, it says, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. That's the opposite to anxiety, worry, and fears. Remember in Isaiah 26, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We're not going to be in perfect peace if our mind stayed on the negatives, the circumstances. Keep our eyes on him. Colossians 3. You got two more. Colossians 3. Another familiar verse. It says in verse 15. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Rule in your hearts. To the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's that thankful again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Again, thankfulness coming up twice in those three verses. And then there's the let's. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. So that is my choice, to let the peace of God rule in my heart. That's my choice, to let God's word dwell in my heart. Let his words, what he said. And again, God's at work within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when we pray and ask God for his help, what do I do? You know, God, lead me, guide me, direct me, show me. What do I need to do? Remember when Jehoshaphat said, we don't know what to do? When we go to God in prayer, I mean, it's the same thing when we say, what do I do? You know, when we go to God and say, well, what do I do? That's the same thing as when Jehoshaphat said, we don't know what to do. We're looking to you. We have no idea what to do. So we pray, then we keep our eyes on him, expecting an answer. Mm-hmm. Looking for and expecting an answer. And how will God give us the answer? However he wants to. You know? God wants to answer you with a voice, he can do that. God wants to answer you with a vision, he can do that. If God wants to answer you by you're reading the word and then you just see it, oh my goodness. Or someone else may share something with you. However God wants to, but we just need to keep looking to him with our eyes on him, expecting an answer. And finally, Hebrews 4. Good old Hebrews 4. What a beautiful verse. Last verse of Hebrews 4, after talking about our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's such a powerful verse. And the word boldly means open speaking, holding back nothing, free speaking. So when we come to the throne of grace, where's the throne of grace? I want to go there. We're all going there. That when fellowship's over with, we're going to take a field trip to the throne of grace. It's not a literal place. It's the presence of God, and God is in us. Whenever we pray, we are at the throne room of grace. And it's a throne room of grace, God's our undeserved favor, God's kindness to us. And so we go boldly. We don't go with a, you know, I'm going to say my prayers now. Where's my cards? Okay, here's the pre-recorded, pre-written prayer to God, because someone got so inspired, they wrote a great prayer that everybody needs to pray. That's not going boldly, free speaking. We speak to God freely. You know, if you're upset, you just tell him, I'm upset. I'm confused. I'm pissed. You think that's going to shock God? You can't talk to me like that. Read some of the Psalms, you know, where they said, how long am I going to sit in this? Where are you? Is your grace gone now? Is there no more blessings for me? Might sound irreverent, but it's not. It's boldness. Because we're going to the throne of grace, because that's where we know we'll get our help. So we go with boldness to the throne of grace. And with reverence too, you know. To the throne of grace. For what reason? That we may obtain mercy. Isn't it interesting that that's there? Mercy is when we don't get something we deserve. Right. For our sins. Remember that psalm was, it was Psalm 25. One of those psalms we read twice in that psalm. It was like, forgive me my sins. Don't remember my sins from you. Because condemnation, sin consciousness, will always hold us back from receiving from God, because we will feel unworthy, undeserving. We won't be expecting God to do something for me, such a sinner. It says in 1 John, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence. Same word that's here. Then have we freedom to speak. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence to go to God. Isn't that neat? So I think it's kind of cool, the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and then find grace to help in time of need. Whenever we pray, we're in the throne room of his grace. You know, there are some people that are just hanging on, We're not hanging on. We're hanging in the throne room of grace. That's where we're hanging out. We're hanging out in the throne room of grace. And like Jesus Christ taught about prayer, we ought to always pray and not faint. We just keep praying and looking, keeping our eyes on Him, expecting an answer. So, in conclusion, we pray. Got to pray. Got to talk to God. Bear our heart. Bear our soul. And then we keep our eyes on Him, and we do that by reminding ourselves of His words, what He said, His promises to us. And we keep our eyes on Him by looking for and expecting His help. Jesus Christ said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So let's pray. Father God, we come before you with great praise for your greatness, Father, for your power, and for your love, and for your grace and mercy to us. Thank you that your ears are always open unto our prayers. And Father, may we just continue to lay our petitions before you and refuse to be shaken by whatever it is we're dealing with, but that we can look to you and that we can keep our eyes on you by remembering what your words say, and Father, by looking to you for an answer. And we, Father, are so thankful that you are such a loving, tender God to us. We're so privileged to be your children, and we thank you for giving us your word that we could see some great truths like we've seen this morning in your word about just praying and looking to you and expecting answers from you. And we thank you for your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because by him we have eternal life and we're a day closer to meeting him in the clouds. Thanks for the privilege of sharing this morning. I ask you to bless everyone here in this room and those on the phone line. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and grace to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.